But anyway, and Doug is the president of the Navigators here in the United States. So he's in the studio with us, and we're going to have a chance to really plow the ground deeply, because everybody knows about the Navigators. I can't imagine anyone listening to Bot Radio Network that wouldn't know about the Navigators. But do you really know how distinctive they are and how they happened to be founded and how many years ago they started and how far-reaching it is across the globe? It's going to be an interesting program for you folks, so you may want to turn your radio up, maybe even call a friend or two, because we're going to have a really, really good time. You got anything you want to say, Rich, add to what I've said?
No, I think we just enjoyed having lunch with Doug a few minutes ago, and we found out some things we can't wait to share with our listeners. This is going to be exciting.
I've been in Christian radio for 50 years. This is our anniversary, 50th anniversary, and I learned things just over lunch that I did not know. Anyway, Doug Nunke, N-O-N. Well, I won't try and get into the spelling versus the pronunciation, but welcome to the complete
story. It's good to be here with you.
Well, maybe should we start out with your own testimony, or should we start out with the beginning of the Navigators and how that all happened?
Well, I can tell you just briefly. I grew up in a church home, but really didn't have full knowledge of who Jesus was and what he had done for me on the cross. And it was as a freshman in college through just some other freshmen and sophomores in college that were walking with Christ, where I saw the difference that he makes in a person's life. And something that I saw in them, and I began to inquire. They talked to me, and the next thing I know, I had come into the kingdom and begun to follow Christ, and I was in a great group that opened the scriptures, and I developed a heart for the Bible. And here is a freshman, sophomore, junior in college, I just couldn't get enough of the scriptures, enough Bible teaching, and I grew like a weed.
And you were at a time in your life when everyone would say, well, college kids, they're not interested in anything like that. After all, it's just party, party, party. But also, as I'm listening to you describe it, you see, you knew about Christ, but you didn't know him.
Exactly, yeah. And I saw it in the lives of these young men and women that it was more than religion. It was an intimate relationship with Jesus, and they embodied that in right there in front of me. And it, you know, like we've all heard it said, most of Christianity is caught, not taught. And I caught it from them. I watched it. They modeled it. I had a guy that was a year ahead of me that helped me develop a devotional life and how to have a quiet time, began memorizing scripture and began to share my faith in natural ways with those around me.
See, I just feel like I could go 10 different directions with this interview at the same time, but we can so many times get caught up in our own vernacular. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering the other day, what does that word mean, or that phrase mean, maybe to someone that's not familiar with it, or maybe they don't know the Lord at all or understand it, but people have heard the phrase born again. But what you've just described is a new birth. Mm-hmm. What you've just described is a new beginning, a new beginning in your life where all things become new and old things become old and they're passed away. And that is that starting point in your life, isn't it?
I
guess I'm getting a little awkward here in trying to explain it, but people who don't know what you're talking about can liken when people say born again, that means you were born, of course, in the first place to your mother. But then there comes that time in your life when you then have a new birth, and it's a spiritual birth, and it's coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.
Yeah, the 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Uh-huh. The old has gone, the new has come. So when we put our faith in Christ, when we begin to follow Jesus, we can know for certain that he is going to change us from the inside out.
And that's universal. It isn't just whether it's here in America or whether it's in Africa or whether it's in China or wherever it takes place. That is universal to all mankind.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about the Navigators, because as the president of Navigators in the United States, I had no idea what your coverage is across this country and then elsewhere. And other, tell us about that.
Yeah, well, the Navigators are involved in 108 countries. Here in the United States, we have over 2,000 staff that are involved on college campuses, involved in military bases, involved among people in their 20s and with in partnership with local churches. We have U.S. Staff that are overseas, about 200, over 250 U.S. staff that are overseas serving in other countries. We're on 160 college campuses. We're involved in 115 military bases, involved in helping people know in an authentic way, in a real way, how to know Jesus Christ and how to walk with him. And then we, the Navigators, are known for being men and women of the Scriptures, helping people go deep in God's Word to be able to have his perspective on life. And we know that that's, you know, the Scriptures hold that for us. It's like a compass for us to be, as we spend time in God's Word, that we see how to live life, and it addresses every kind of situation that we can find ourselves in. So as Navigators, whether it's on college campuses, helping business and professionals, even some of our works are in inner cities, and no matter where we're at, we find people that that need hope that can only be found in Christ and need the hope that can be found in the Scriptures.
So here you were, a freshman. Were you a freshman in college?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Came to know the Lord in a very personal way. Even though you had grown up in a church home, you hadn't really had a genuine conversion experience, but at that point you did. What was the path that led you then from that moment, that beginning moment, to now becoming the president of Navigators USA?
Oh, my. That's a long
path,
Dick.
Well, I imagine it's a long story, but I think you can give us the...
Well, yeah, I began to walk with the Lord there in college. And
in what way? How is that, walking with the Lord? What does that mean?
I began to orient my life around the principles that I find in the Scriptures. I began to spend time with him every day, you know, just in devotions, what we might call a quiet time, just getting a little chunk of Scripture each day that I would read, meditate on, and then spend some time in prayer. Began to spend time with other people that of like heart, other people that were following the Lord Jesus, and be influenced by them. And then as I'm with my friends who didn't yet know Jesus, to be able to live my life in such a way that they'd see a difference, speak words that might influence them towards him, and when an opportunity presented itself, to be able to lead people to come to know him. And whether that was in classes, in the work that I was doing. And so each step of the way, even as a college student, to begin to do that. And then the Lord, as we got out of school, and my wife and I were both there in college together, and as we got out of school and we were married a year out, we moved to Denver, Colorado, attended seminary there, and began to be involved in a church. So we were involved in church ministry for a number of years there. Involved in various disciple-making efforts. And really, at the core of who we had this sense, even before we came into formal contact with the Navigators, we had this, I guess our passion of our hearts was to help people know Jesus, help them get into the Scriptures, experience the transforming work of the gospel, so that they then would be able to help others as well. So in every season of our life, that's been the theme. And we knew along the way that the Navigators, that was their main thing. Their tagline has been to know Christ and make him known. In recent years, we've been adding a third one: to know Christ, make him known, and help others do the same. So come along 1992, we came in contact with some Navigators who became friends, and the next thing we knew, we found ourselves over in Lawrence, Kansas, working on the college over there, working with the Navigators among students, doing that very thing, coming alongside them to know Christ, helping them walk with him, be transformed with him, and then to help them to make Christ known in a ripple effect of the gospel, so to speak. This last year I wrote a book called Making Waves, and this idea of making waves is that God's destiny for every believer is that their destiny is not just to make a splash in life, but their destiny is that God has imparted Christ to us. I mean, the Holy Spirit lives in us. And through that, every believer can have a ripple of God's grace that emanates out of their life. And they should, and that all of us can have that as a vision for our life, that not only would we be impacted by Christ, but people right around us that God has put in the normal pathways of our life, that those people would be impacted by the grace of God because of what he's done in our life, and then others as well, in a ripple effect that would reach other families, other networks, and other people that are just all in a kind of a natural flow of the gospel.
Man, when I'm listening to you speak here, I want to ask our producer to get a song ready that we can use toward the end of the broadcast, To Be Used of God. I think it's by the Attucks Choir. The thing, it just really touches my heart, but that's kind of what you're describing. So we'll have that toward the end of the program. But tell us about the Navigators. How did the Navigators start? People know of all of these various college Christian groups and organizations and everything else, but the Navigators, everyone knows about them, but I wonder if they know how they began, how long ago they began, and the immensity of their reach into the what you do.
Yeah. In the 1930s, there was a young man named Dawson Trotman who his background was he was a lumberyard worker, so a blue-collar guy, and who had a passion for life. And
so he hadn't been to seminary.
No, hadn't been to seminary. But he was involved in
he wasn't a PhD.
No PhD, just a common, you know, it's like in Acts 4:13 where, you know, they saw these Peter and James and they took note that they were, you know, common, ordinary men, unschooled, ordinary men. And that was Dawson Trotman.
So he was a surrendered vessel.
Yeah, and as he was influenced as he was growing up there in his church, he got involved in some scripture memory, and the scriptures deeply impacted Dawes's life. And then along the way, he wanted to be able to pass along what he had learned to others. So, you know, he was there in Long Beach, California, and Navy servicemen were there. There's a naval base there, and he began to meet some of these guys, and he began to invest his life in some of these young naval guys. And gradually, over a period of time, he came to the conviction of how important it is, not just for people to know and come to salvation in Christ, but the importance of helping people go deep in Scripture
and grow
and deep in Christ
and grow.
To grow spiritually in every aspect of their life. And he began to, quote, disciple them. You know, back in during the 30s to the 60s, you know, this idea of discipleship began to grow here in the U.S. And at the foundation of that were people like Dawson Trotman, who came to this idea of helping people not just come to Christ, but to follow them up and grow in the scriptures. In fact, in those early years, Billy Graham was getting his start, and he had these crusades going on, and Billy and Dawson were friends. And Billy came to Dawson and said, "Dawes, I need your help. I've got these people coming to Christ at the crusades. I need help in how to follow them up." And, you know, it was Navigators that, you know, wrote up and helped with the early follow-up curriculums for the crusades in those years. And Dawes went on and imparted the Christ life to the servicemen. And then in the early 40s, the war started. And all these servicemen that they had impacted over those years.
See, now, from the 1930s, you're bringing us right up to Pearl Harbor.
Exactly.
The very beginning of World War II. Wow. What a history.
World War II, all these servicemen were launched out to the Pacific on ships. And those ships became basically floating Bible schools in some ways, in that they had people that had Christ in their life They had been grounded in the scriptures, knew how to walk with God, and also had been equipped to help other people. And all over the Pacific, there were people that obviously during a time of war, people are tender to the needs, the real needs of life. And those young men all over the Pacific, there were men who came to find that they really needed something more than what they had lived for and began to
Christ. I was born in 1933, so Pearl Harbor was 1941. So the period of time you're speaking about, I was a kid, not yet a teenager by any means, but I remember the soldiers, the army, they would have a brown New Testament that was given to them by someone. I mean, that was always army issue, that brown New Testament. And then the Navy, those involved in the Navy, theirs was blue. And I remember as a little kid, you know, I was thinking, well, would I want a brown one or a blue one? But that was, and when you are describing, folks, this is a time when America was turning to God because we had a battle on our hands. Yeah. And but anyway, go ahead with this.
So then the war was over. All these different servicemen came back to the United States, and some of them went to school in the GI Bill, and some of those that had been involved with this navigator work, which was really just a movement that was out there in the Pacific and other places around the world, came back and began to go to school. So the navigator work shifted and moved to college campuses. Some of those that came back after the war said, boy, I was all over the world serving Uncle Sam. Maybe I could go someplace overseas and serve Jesus. And some of those courageous young men launched back out to launch campus works or other navigator works in other parts of the world. And that's how the navigator work began to grow internationally to the point, like I said earlier, today we're in about 110 different countries where we have navigators work in most of those places led by the nationals, in Africa, led by Africans, in Asia, led by Asians, in various parts of the world, led by those that have been impacted and the ripple effect all the way back from the 40s.
And I did a Google search on Navigators Ministry. That was the keywords I put in Google search, Navigators Ministry. But man alive, there was one link there that shot up with the little places all over the United States and then all over in the foreign countries and everything else. I want the folks to listen to this. This is such a thrilling story. And we're going to be right back, because I want you folks to have the place where you can look up the navigators, their website, and learn more about them and learn what they're doing right now. What we've been talking about is history, you see, how it began and how it grew, but what's happening right now. But listen to this song and see if it doesn't touch your heart.
There's a yearning in my heart that cannot be denied. It's a longing that has never yet been satisfied. I want the world to know the one who loves them so. Like a flame is burning deep inside. To be used of God, to sing, the way. wish to sing, to speak, or to play.
Doug, by the way, folks, we're talking to Doug Nunke, and he's the president of Navigators here in the United States. Rich, what would you add for the moment and before we go forward?
Hey, I was just going to ask Doug, we have a lot of new Christians that undoubtedly are listening to us today as they listen to Bot Radio Network and they hear the Word of God preached and taught daily over the radio. They've come to accept the Lord as their Savior. What would you encourage them as initial steps? How can they grow spiritually, as you were talking? What specific steps should they look to take in their lives to grow closer to the Lord and understand His will and how to follow it in their lives?
I would say one of the basics, I think, for helping people is as they come into a relationship and they're making their first steps, is to just spend regular time in the Scriptures every day and in prayer. Just to be able to take 5 minutes at the beginning of each day to open up the Scriptures, you know, read a psalm, read a section out of the Gospels, and to meditate on that for a minute, and then just to talk to the Lord Jesus and ask Him to be revealing Himself in new ways to them would be one. And the other one would be to get someone that's a step ahead of them to walk with them and to help them grow, you know, to disciple them, so to speak. I think, Rich, and this is the passion of the Navigators. The Navigators is a gospel-advancing, generational discipling movement. And so we believe that everyday people are the ones that God wants to use to change our world. And if you think about it, if every person that would sit that sits in a Sunday morning worship service this Sunday, if every person would have it in their heart, who is one person that I could meet with on a weekly basis to help them grow just one step at a time? You know, to spend a little time over lunch or on a work break to be able to open the Scriptures and just read a passage and spend a little time in prayer. So it's very simple. But just what would happen if each person thought about how can I help one person take the next steps that they need in their walk with Jesus, which is what disciple making is. That's what discipleship is. It would change our world.
And that's what the Great Commission is, to make disciples, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, in 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, it's a great scripture, I think, that each of us can take personally. It says, it's Paul talking to Timothy, and he says to his son in the faith, says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So right there he's saying, grow deep yourself in the grace of Christ. "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who would be able to teach others also." So you see that ripple effect. We're to be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus, and we're to pass the message of Christ on to others who will be able to teach others also.
Isn't that the history of the church? Isn't that the history of the church?
It is. Jesus did it himself.
I am continuously impressed with the idea of being a witness. A witness is someone who knows, and then also someone who shares and is a mentor, is that person who disciples somebody else who needs help along the way. Well, this is a pleasure. This is a pleasure to meet you, Doug, and to know more about. Now, give us your website where people listening can say, I want to know more about that organization.
Yeah, the Navigators website is www.navigators.org. Another place that you could go to is the Google Nav Press. NAVPRESS, Nav Press, which we have. There's all kinds of Bible studies and helps and books to be able to help people grow deeply in Christ.
I think Chip Ingram, you know, who's one of the major broadcasters on Bot Radio Network, I believe that it was Navigators that was so important in his life when he was kind of getting started. But that brings up another thing. Everyone who's a part of Navigators or everyone who knows the Lord and wants to serve him, that doesn't mean you have to be a pastor or a missionary or do this, that, or the other thing. God calls people into different walks of life, and each of us have the responsibility to be a witness for him one way or the other. Speak to that in just the closing moments.
God wants to use everyday people. You know, I think sometimes we can believe that it's the spiritual superstars, it's the full-time Christian workers that are the ones that are really doing the work. And in fact, as you read the scriptures, you find person after person that were just everyday, ordinary people that had Christ in their lives.
There you have it, folks. This is Dick Bott with his chapter of The Complete Story is a public service now for you folks, and I'll see you later.
Copyright by The Navigators, 2013, all rights reserved.